Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Lord, we welcome you right now in this place. No one is more important than you. Lord, you are worthy of our full attention right now. And right now we fix our eyes on you. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up every heart that's in this place this morning. Lord, that we'd come to you as little children, ready to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. All right. You ready? About 2019 for me was a crazy year. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. It was a whirlwind year in many ways, but one of the ways was in my work. I worked as a sales manager for a gym, and at the same time was running my personal training business. So life was very busy. And around this time last year, I received the news that I was being made redundant from my sales role. And all of a sudden, I went from working 12, sometimes 15-hour days to about a third of that. And you know, sometimes you don't realize that you are addicted to being busy, to being busy is no longer your reality. And so, of course, I did the normal thing that you do. You lose a job, you look for another one, right? Well, after about 1,100 job applications and no breakthrough, I started to ask some serious questions, and this was one of them. Lord, what are you doing in my life right now? Have you ever asked that question? You might be asking that this morning. Lord, what are you doing in my life right now? And then, of course, COVID happened, and for a short period of time there, the gyms closed, and I had next to no work at all. And so now I'm really asking that question. Lord, what are you doing in my life right now? And you know, it's really only been the last couple of months that I've began to realize that the Lord has been doing just about what he's always done and what he seeks to do in our life every single day. And that's to bring me to a place where I could sit at his feet long enough to draw from his love long enough for it to impact my heart deep enough for me to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And I'm here to tell you, church, the love of Jesus is overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And my prayer for you this morning is that you fall in love with Jesus more than you ever have before. There is no one like him. There is no one like Jesus. Do you know his beauty, his excellency is inexhaustible. The more you see of him, the more you want him. The more you drink from him, the more you thirst for him. There is no one like Jesus. The title of this message, if you're taking down notes, is Stay at the Feet of Jesus. And we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 10. If you don't have your Bibles, the words will be on the screen. Verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he, speaking of Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So Jesus comes into a town called Bethany. He comes in, and the Bible says that Martha welcomes him into her home. Here's what I used to think. I used to read that and used to think, okay, Jesus has come into her home. He sits down and Mary's seated at his feet listening to his word, but then Martha goes straight to the kitchen. I thought Martha bypassed both of them straight away, but the Bible doesn't actually say that. The Bible says that Martha had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. Which means at some point in this story, Martha was also seated at the feet of Jesus. To further prove that, the Bible says that she was distracted with much serving. The Greek word for distracted there means to be drawn away. She's drawn away from the feet of Jesus. And it's not that she's drawn away by something bad. She's drawn away by something good. She's serving the Lord, using her gifts. And she's doing a lot for Jesus, but there's a problem. She's been distracted from the feet of her first love. And she becomes frustrated. And she approaches Jesus and she makes a request of Jesus and he doesn't answer her the way she wants to be answered. Have you ever been there? I have. Hello? 1,100 job applications. No breakthrough. You know, I used to work in supermarkets. And so I thought, I'm going to apply for supermarkets again. They knocked me back as well. And you know, if they knew who they were missing out on, I'd be con the fruiterer to them. I'd work in their fruit section. Do you know, I'll tell you, the most encouraging thing, part of this whole story, one of the most encouraging things, is although Jesus doesn't answer her the way she wants to be answered, he doesn't ignore her. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Do you know when the Lord said, one thing is needed, I truly believe that was his invitation. That was his invitation for her to come back to her place of rest, to come back to her first love. It was an invitation to come back to her first love. And Mary chose the good part, which wasn't taken away from her. Do you know what I love about Mary? Mary doesn't succumb to the pressure of having to do something that draws her away from his feet. It's not like Mary didn't end up doing anything. She did. She ended up serving the Lord. The difference was she stayed at his feet long enough to trust that he would raise her up. And she ends up doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason and to the right person. And we're going to see that right now. Let's turn to John chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. The words will be on the screen. You all okay? I love you, church. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Mary breaks a very costly oil of spikenard over Jesus. She does the right thing at the right time for the right reason to the right person. And look where she lands, at his feet. She takes the time to sit at his feet. And now when it's time to serve, she's serving at his feet. And look at what she's doing. She's wiping his feet with her hair. You probably couldn't even see her face. Do you know why? Because our elevation is not about our recognition. When the Lord promotes us, it's about his glory. In fact, the more the Lord promotes us, I believe we need to be more humble. It's all about him. It's all about people seeing him. It's all about beholding the beauty of his face. There's no mistake that what she did was significant. And it's the ultimate picture of humility serving before his feet. It's beautiful. On both occasions, Mary is criticized. When she's seated at the feet of Jesus, the criticism was, it's a waste of time. When she's serving at the feet of Jesus, the criticism was, it's a waste of resource. And on both occasions, the Lord addresses the critic by showing the critic what's most important. Don't you love that about Jesus? Don't you love that? Don't you love there's always room at his feet? No matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, no matter what your background, it doesn't make a difference to Jesus if you're to humble yourself and come and sit at his feet and behold his beauty. You don't remain a critic for long, because you begin to behold the beauty of someone who is perfect. You begin to behold the one in whom is no spot or blemish. You begin to behold the altogether lovely one. There is no one like Jesus. Absolutely no one compares to him. You know how Mary responds to her critics? She doesn't. Do you know why? Because she's already consumed with Jesus. She's already responding to the one who matters most. It's almost like she didn't even hear her critic. And when you come to a place where you are so consumed with him, when you sit at his feet long enough to let him love you and pour his love upon you, you realize very quickly that worship does not end when church is over. Worship doesn't end at the end of your prayer time or in your prayer closet. No, worship continues because your whole life becomes worship. You become so conscious of his presence. You're so in love with him, you cannot stop thinking about him. Your career becomes worship to him. Your parenting becomes worship to him. Your business becomes worship to him. Your marriage becomes worship to him. Your dating relationships become worship to him. It's all about him. It's all to him. The Bible says that he is the author and the finisher of faith, and we're to look unto him. The Greek word for look unto simply means is it means to look away from all else, to set your gaze upon. We need to fall in love with the author again. We need to fall in love with the author and the finisher of faith again and trust the author with our part in his story. And the best way, one of the best ways to fall in love with the author is to read what the author's written. What's the author written about himself? What's he say about himself? Brings me to my first point. My first point is this: read his word. Read his word. Do you know, I gave my heart to Jesus shortly after my 21st birthday. It was about 2 years ago. So no one believed me. I said that in the first service. No one believed me. Because it's not true. I turned 40 on Thursday. So it was a little bit longer than 3 years ago, give or take a couple of decades, I think. Anyway, I went to Bible college about a year after, and I'll never forget it. One of the lecturers at Bible college got up and he says, "How many of you read your Bibles every single day?" And I thought to myself, "Oh, that's a bit of a silly question. We're in a Bible college. Of course everyone reads their Bible every day." Well, believe it or not, out of a class of about 30 people, only about 10 put their hand up. I wasn't one of them who put their hand up. And so I had to go away from that experience asking myself the question, where are my daily priorities really? Do I really believe the words of Jesus when he says, only one thing is needful? And was I choosing that good part? So now when I wake up in the morning, I don't look at social media first. I open up my Bible first. If we find ourselves binging on TV and social media and snacking on our Bibles, we need to be reminded who we are again. The Bible says that Jesus, through his one offering, has washed us and made us kings and priests to our God. Come on, yeah, you can give a hand for Jesus for that. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand for that. And as king's children, it doesn't make sense to be binging on junk. We got access to the bread of life. We got the best food in the land, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our Bibles are about Jesus. Jesus said, the scriptures testify of me. And you know what the good news is? He has given you his spirit. If you've received Jesus Christ, if you're born again, he has given you his spirit to see more of him through the scriptures. Let's have that scripture up. John 15:26, it says this. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. That's Jesus speaking. We have that spirit inside of us and we have the ability to see more of him as we read the scriptures. That's good news. I'm not against TV. I'm not against social media. I've got both. Right, so this is not legalism. This is about priority. I'm like the least legalistic person you'll meet. Just spend 5 minutes with me, okay? And you'll learn the gospel. We have the privilege of feeding on Jesus every single day. Beautiful. Okay, point number two is this, is we need to receive the word. We need to receive his word. How do we receive it? We receive it by believing what the author says about himself. Do you know Mary, one of the most significant things about what she did was this. She believed who the Lord was from the scriptures. I'm going to prove that to you in a moment, but let's look at the setting. Let's look at the setting when she anointed Jesus. So it's supper time, right? They're at the table. Jesus is at the table with Lazarus and Martha's serving. Mary breaks a very costly oil of spikenard over him. She anoints him and the fragrance of spikenard fills the room. Let's look at that scripture, Song of Solomon. While the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance. She knew the king was at the table because she believed what the king said about himself from the scriptures. She wasn't distracted from his feet. She sat at his feet long enough to believe the right thing about the king. Isn't that beautiful? You know, one of the things I used to struggle with, even as a Christian, was guilt, condemnation. I didn't quite believe that my sins were forgiven until I discovered the beautiful gospel of grace and the finished work of Jesus and the scripture that said in Colossians, where at the cross he forgave all our transgressions. All. Do you know what all means in Greek? All. In fact, if you look at that word all a little bit deeper, it means the whole picture. Past, present, and future. Such was the power of the finished work of the cross. It was powerful enough to deal with all your sins from the start of your life to the end of your life. We say past, present, and future because we're time bound. God isn't. God sees you from eternity. So when God says you're forgiven, guess what? That means your whole life from now to eternity, from the start to the finish, the beginning and the end. Amen? It's good news, which brings me to my last point. And my last point is this. We need to respond to his word. I gave my heart to Jesus shortly after I was 21. I've mentioned that before. And I lived the first 21 years of my life. My life wasn't bad. It wasn't that bad. I grew up in a good family, a loving family, a caring family, a family that had respect for God. And as a 21-year-old, I was into my sports and was a pretty buff guy, still am. But there was a problem. I was empty. I was empty on the inside, looking for satisfaction from a number of things. Partying, girls, the gym. I looked like I had it all together on the outside, but honestly, on the inside, I was crying. I was asking the question, what's life really about? What's it really all about? When all that stuff's peeled away, what's it really about? And one of my friends one time invited me to his house and showed me a video of back then it was video cassettes, there's no DVDs, a video of a very famous preacher. And it was a men's conference, and it wasn't a message. He was just answering questions, Q&A. And this one guy got up, and he had one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And the preacher looked at him lovingly and says, "You are losing your life. If you don't build something serious now, you will starve as an old man. Because you wasted your youth with women you can't even remember. And they'll walk away and they won't even remember your name." And it just hit me. I thought, you know what? I am being robbed blind by the devil and I don't even know it. And it wasn't until I gave my heart to Jesus, it didn't matter if I'd grown up with religion. I didn't have Jesus. I had a mental ascent of who Jesus was, but I didn't know him. There's a difference. I had to surrender in that moment. And I turned to my friend, I said, "I want you to take me to church next week. I want God. I want him." And I determined that once I surrender to Jesus, I'm not looking back. I don't want the party life anymore. I'm done with it. Yeah, it's fun at the time, but it leaves you empty. Nothing compares to a life with Jesus. Do you know, I've lived almost half my life as a Christian now. And can I be honest with you? The second half so far has been way better than the first. Give your heart to Jesus. Don't give him your words. Don't give him your excuses. Give him your heart. You know, there's a story in the Bible about a man who had two sons. One son decided that he was going to leave the father's house. He asked for his inheritance and he left. The father honored his request and let him go. He spent his inheritance on riotous living, partied, had fun, but he ended up in a place where it left him empty, not only out of pocket, but empty in the soul. And he said, "I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my father's house and be one of his hired servants." He thought that he was going to come back and just start from the bottom. If you've been away from church for a while, it's amazing what preconceived ideas you have in your head about what people are thinking about you. The father doesn't. He doesn't have any preconceived ideas. He wants you. And if you were to take one step towards him, he would run at you. He would run to you. You know, the prodigal son didn't even go all the way. As soon as he turned for his father's house, guess what? The father ran. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. The Greek word there is in plural form. He kissed him repeatedly, didn't stop kissing him. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but while every head is bowed and every eye is closed all across this place, come home. Come home. Come to Jesus. If that's you this morning and you're in that place, I'm not going to draw it out. I believe you know who you are. You're not responding to me, you're responding to the Father's love. You're responding to Jesus himself. Life is so empty without him. And you know what? If you let this moment pass you by, you may not get another opportunity. So right now, if that's you, I simply want you to raise your hand all across this place. I'm not going to draw it out. I'm going to give you a few more moments to respond, and we're going to pray. If you know you need to come back home, raise your hand and we're going to pray. And we're going to welcome you back to where God wants you. If that's you this morning, thank you, Father. Why don't we all stand right now? You know, I really believe that there are people in this room, and there's a few different groups of people. There's three groups of people I believe the Lord wants to touch. The first one is people that have served Him a long time. And you know that you need to come back to that place of just being in awe of His love, being touched by Him and Him alone. There are other people, and you've been experiencing loneliness. You've been feeling incredibly lonely lately. And I believe the Lord wants to touch you in a way where you go home and that loneliness is no longer there, because you are so conscious of His presence. Something is going to break over loneliness this morning. I speak it right now. You're going to go home, and that being broken over you is going to help you understand that He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And you're going to be able to see the Lord clearer than you've ever seen Him before. There are other people, and you're really worried about the future. You're not sure. This year it's hurt you. If you're honest, it's hurt you. I believe the Lord wants to heal you of that this morning and realign your focus on Him. So right now, we're going to open up the altars. If that's you, and you identify with one of those three things, or it might be all three, I'm not sure. I just know that God wants to touch you this morning. We're going to move the chairs back. We're going to observe the distancing rules and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to be laying hands or anything. But I'll tell you two things that the Lord honors. Two things: humility and honesty. Humility and honesty. Now, that's you. As a band leads us, come on down the front and let the Lord touch you this morning. Lord, we just thank You for what You're going to do in people's hearts this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your sweet presence, Jesus. We pray that You would move right now. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.